Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for the opportunity you have given us to enjoy a day we have never seen before. But a day, Lord, that we hope is used in such a way where we examine ourselves and determine whether we be in the faith. We pray, Lord, that as we examine that great question tonight, that we look in your holy word and we explore what your divine word of truth says about this subject tonight, and to open our eyes about how Satan has blinded the minds of many. Pray, Lord, that Brother Williams this evening stand bold on your word. Pray, Lord, that those listening tonight have a humble heart and are ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the church of Christ. We ask this prayer in son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. We appreciate you so very much for working with me, and we're thankful to have each and every call tonight, especially those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call, and we welcome you to our call. Tonight, we got a great subject and a great topic. Our speaker tonight is the personal Brother Glenn Williams. He's one of the elders. We heard from his preacher last night, Austin Lincoln, and Glenn tonight will speak to us, Brother Glenn, excuse me, will speak to us about the blinded mind, sounding the trumpet. This comes from Isaiah 51. That's our theme, sounding the trumpet, and he's going to sound his trumpet about the blinded mind. Now, I pull these topics from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God, little g, of this world have blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. His preacher last night dealt with that little G God, found out he was Satan himself, old Polyon, Abaddon, Satan, that old serpent, and these folk that are blinded. You want to find out tonight, are you one of those in that number? Help us out, Brother Williams. Sound the trumpet about this blinded mind.
I am very thankful to be here tonight, thankful for this gospel meeting that has been taking place. It's certainly in our prayers, and we are so thankful, Inviter, for this effort that is taking place. And very privileged to be able to talk about the blinded mind tonight. Hope you have your Bibles and you are getting ready to open them and take notes as we consider this subject. I would like to start out by us thinking about how blessed we are if we have good vision. It is interesting when we consider only about half a percentage of the people in the world are physically blinded of their sight. Most of us, including me, cannot imagine going through this life blinded of physical sight. There are clearly some difficulties for those that are blind when it comes to physical sight. However, physical blindness is minor compared to the blindness we will consider in this study tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 speaks of those whose mind has been blinded by the God of this age. I am thankful for Brother Wiggins' sermon last night, and he covered the God of this age and talked about that being Satan. And tonight we are going to focus on the blinded mind. Sadly, unlike physical blindness, this blindness has affected the vast majority of the world. Also, the effects of this blindness are much, much worse than physical blindness. This is very serious. Allowing our mind to be blinded will cause us to lose our eternal soul and spend eternity in hell. There's nothing worse than that. Let's consider the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, before we get started. In Paul is writing the second letter we have recorded to the Corinthians, and he points out a few things we will mention. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, he informs us that Satan will take advantage of us if we are ignorant of his devices. Therefore, we must study God's word and not be ignorant of Satan's devices. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, explains how that blindness of mind can only be removed when one turns to the Lord. Now, we will take a look at the passages in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to read verse 1 now. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We have the gospel of Christ delivered to us today. We must not lose heart. Paul was often faced with adversities, yet he continued teaching and preaching in the face of rejection and persecution. While in Ephesus, Paul met opposition of the Jews in Acts 19, verses 8 and 9. Also in Acts 19, verses 23 through 41, we see he met opposition from the pagans. But in the face of such adversity, he did not give up. He just kept on keeping on. How many people have quit preaching or teaching Bible class or even stopped attending services because of discouragement? Remember Paul's warning in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, is to let us not grow weary when doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. So Paul here is encouraging everyone in this verse to not lose heart. In verse 2, it says, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The Apostle Paul is clearly pointing out how the servant of God must be honest in conduct, and most importantly, in handling the word of God. And see, these things that he is talking about now are important for us not to have a blinded mind. Paul followed after the perfect example of Jesus, and he also set the example for the Lord's servant to imitate. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, Paul said, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. He understood the Lord's servant must serve as an example to be followed at all times, and told Timothy to do the same thing. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he said, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Paul would not handle the word of God deceitfully. This means he would not change or falsify the word of God. He understood that that would corrupt the message, making it the word of man. The word of man has no saving power. In fact, Paul gave a warning when he wrote the book of Galatians in Galatians 1, 6 through 8, where he said, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which you have, than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Very serious that we do not corrupt and that we deal rightly with the word of God. Look at verse 3 now. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Serious. How serious it is to be blinded to the gospel. The words, those who are perishing, makes it very clear. They are lost and headed for an eternity in hell. That is not where we want to be, friends. This is why we must use the word of God to remove the veil causing a blinded mind. As we look at verse 4, it says, whose mind the God of this age has blinded? Who do not believe, lest the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. As we consider this verse, may we examine ourselves to see if we are in line with God's word or if we have allowed Satan to blind our mind. We will spend the rest of the time considering this blindness of mind. We must understand, God is not going to force us to believe and obey. God will not save us against our will. It is the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God and the salvation, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. However, there are those that are perishing, as those in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, that believe the message of the cross is foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. That is so clearly pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. You see, the message of the cross is foolishness to many, but in truth, it is the power of God to salvation. We look in the book of Romans, chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 20 through 25, and we will talk about those a little as we move through it. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his, talking about God, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. In other words, that which is around, that which we see, the very creation tells us that there is a God, there is a creator. Verse 21 says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. You see, they could pick the God they wanted to pick based on what they wanted to do. You know, it's very much like that in our world today, sadly. We can pick what we want to do and select somewhere to go worship. I was having a study with a very dear friend at one time, and he told me, I do not know much about the Bible, but I like going to the cowboy church because they believe the same way I do. And I asked him, I said, think about what you just said. You said you don't know much about God's word, but you're wanting to worship this way because it is what you like. Our worship must be based off of God's word, or we have done nothing different than what those in Romans chapter 1 have done by changing the glory of an incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. In other words, we are doing what we want to do if we are not doing what God wants us to do. Verse 24 says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God gave them up to uncleanness, is what it tells us. God allowed them to believe the lie. God is not going to force us, just as he did not force them to believe the truth. No, we have no excuse to have a blinded mind. If we simply use logic, if we think for ourselves, and if we study God's word, it is impossible for us to have a blinded mind. Consider Romans chapter 1, which we read a moment ago, that clearly points out that we can know there is a creator. And as we look around today, we clearly see something exists. And what exists has very complex design built into it. If something exists today, something has always existed, unless we have allowed our mind to be blinded with the non-scientific lie the evolutionist would have us believe that something came from nothing. If there is design in what we see today, there must be a designer. The scientific case for creation is so much stronger than the position the evolutionist holds. You know, we look at God's word, it is easy to see who that designer is. We can look at nature and know there is a God and know there is a designer. But who is it? When we look at the Word of God, it makes it abundantly clear. There has never been a book like the Bible. How could 40 different men scattered over a period of some 1,600 years, from 1500 BC to approximately 100 AD, scattered over three different continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe, from every type of background, from fishermen to kings, write a book in three different languages, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek, a book with no contradictions, a book which is a complete unit that sets forth the problem of the age, man's sin, man's exit from the tree of life, and shows his entrance back into the tree of life as this good book ends. Once we understand that God exists and the Bible is his word, we have a decision to make. Are we going to handle the word of God deceitfully as those spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2? We are now going to start looking at examples of people with blinded minds. And sadly, most have blinded minds today, and many do not even realize it. Now, there are far more examples than we will have time to look at, but we are going to look at as many as we can. Now, I once heard, and I've heard many people say this, I've heard people say, I am not going to be held accountable for what others are going to be held accountable for. And I would say you have heard the same thing, although we will normally not say it that way, right? What people normally will say is, me and God have our own special thing going. What does that statement mean? Well, when you look at that statement and what's meant by it, in the context it's made, it means I will not be held to the standard of God's word because I am special. Others may be required to follow God's word, but not me because I am special. Others may be eternally lost for not following God's word, but not me because I am special. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Romans chapter 2:11, we see where it says that for there is no partiality with God. God is going to treat us the same. You and I will be held accountable for that which others are going to be held accountable for. As all men, you and I will be held to the standard of God's word. As all men, you and I are required to follow God's word. As all, you and I will be eternally lost for not following God's word. Our Lord made that so clear in John chapter 12, verse 48, when he said, he who rejects me and does not receive my word has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. How can anyone believe they will not be held accountable for that which others are going to be held accountable for? They have a blinded mind. That is the only way we can believe such a lie. Well, another belief that demonstrates this blindness of mind is the idea that there are many ways to heaven. How many times have you heard statements like, we are all going to the same place, we are just getting there by different ways? Admittedly, if it were true, it would bring great comfort. But if it is not true, it is an area of great blindness. And unfortunately, the latter is the case. We must understand there is only one way to heaven. There is no other way but through Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There are many that agree with this point. But unfortunately, they remain blinded in this area because they will not accept that we must be obedient to the Lord's will. And it is just as clear. It is a clear, plain, simple biblical fact that we must be obedient to be pleasing to God. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, we read, "And having been perfected," he, talking about our Lord, Jesus Christ, "he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him." Many today would say obedience is not necessary. We see in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, that our Lord is the author of eternal salvation to those who obey him. Simply doing what we think is right is not enough. We must do the will of the Father, as Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says. Our Lord very plainly said, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus is very clear that we must do the will of the Father in heaven to enter the kingdom of heaven. You see, we do not have a vote on how many ways there are to get to heaven. We must go through Jesus, John 14, 6, and do the will of the Father, Matthew 7, 21. What then is the correct answer? How are we to be saved? What is the will of the Father? How do we get rid of the soul-damning sin that is separating us from God and keeping us out of heaven? Well, the biblical solution is very simple. It is that a person who has heard the gospel, you see, we must hear the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, must believe the message that is preached. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Well, and one should not perish if they believe, because they should not stop right then and say, "I'm not doing anything else." They should continue to do what our Lord says to do in order to be saved. In fact, we have to repent. Jesus made that very clear in Luke 13:3. He said, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And we must confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord. Matthew 10:32-33, Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." But at this point, we still have not seen the remission of sins take place. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we see where the people had actually asked in verse 36. Paul had told them that they had crucified the Son of God. They were pricked to their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I said, Paul, Peter did. And he did not leave them without an answer to that question. He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." See, he pointed out very clearly, baptism is for the remission of sins. And in Acts chapter 22, verse 16, it says, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Clearly, baptism is for the washing away of sins. That is the point. Our sins are removed, and we are added to the church. After receiving the remission of sins, though, we must remain faithful. Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." No, we must be faithful, not perfect. We will make mistakes, and when we do, when we sin, we must repent and come back to the Lord. This is very clear in God's word, yet so many today object to baptism based on the grounds that it is a work. They will say, "Well, if you believe baptism is essential to be saved, then you are trying to work your way into heaven. You are trying to earn salvation." And that is not the case at all. Please understand, all we are doing is what the Bible says to do. The Bible says to be baptized for the remission of sins. Please understand, baptism is not a work that we perform to earn a spot in heaven. Nothing could be farther from the truth. But baptism is required for a person to be saved. The Bible clearly teaches that we are not saved by works. Ephesians 2:9 says, it is not of works, lest anyone should boast. God's word is very clear that we cannot do anything to earn salvation. We must never forget that we can't earn salvation and we do not deserve it. Yet the Bible teaches we will not be saved without works. It takes works to do the will of the Father, Matthew 7:21. And read James chapter 2, verses 14 through 24, and you will see you cannot be saved without works. In fact, James chapter 2, verse 24 says, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. We read that salvation is not of works in Ephesians 2:9. And we read that we are justified by works in James chapter 2, verse 24. Now, since inspiration guarantees the scriptures will never contradict themselves, it is obvious that two different kinds of works are under consideration in this passage. Actually, the New Testament mentions at least four different types of works. It speaks of the works of the law of Moses, Galatians 2, Romans 3. We read of the works of the flesh, spoken of in Galatians 5, 18 through 21. Not a good type of work there. And then we read of works of merit. These are the works with the misguided idea that the works themselves save a person. And that's, as an example, we see in Titus chapter 3, verse 4 through 7. How sad it is anyone could ever be in the state where they feel like that they are working and earning salvation. And God owes that to them. Then we have works resulting from obedience of faith, as in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 24. This is the type of work we must have, often referred to as works of God. Not works performed by God, but rather works required and approved by God, as we see in John 6. You see, it is impossible to study God's word and come to the conclusion that one can be saved without works. Turn with me to John chapter 6. This is an excellent section of passage for someone to mark in their Bible and make notes and study about. In verse 27 of John 6, our Lord is speaking, and he says, do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. In this section of scripture, Jesus made it very clear that certain works that humans must perform in order to receive eternal life. In this passage, he affirms that believing itself is a work. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. So if one is saved without any type of works, then he is saved without faith, because faith is a work. Such a conclusion would throw the Bible into hopeless confusion. In addition to faith, we also see that repentance from sin is a divinely appointed work for man to perform prior to being saved. The people of Nineveh repented at Jonah's preaching. We see in Matthew chapter 12, verse 41, yet the Old Testament records in Jonah 3:10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Thus, if one can be saved without any kind of work, be saved without repentance. Yet Jesus himself said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Faith, repentance, baptisms are works, but they are not works of merit. We do not perform these acts or works with the idea that we earn salvation. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We do not deserve salvation. We cannot earn it. We cannot place God in debt to owe us salvation. salvation is a gift. It is grace. But the fact that it is a gift does not mean that we do not have to do anything to access it. I would like for you to imagine this example. I want you to picture, let's say it is your birthday, and someone comes and they bring you a birthday present. And when you get this present, it is a box. And you have had, your car is in very bad shape. And you get this present and you unwrap it, and it is a brand new set of car keys. And there is a brand new car in your driveway. And they said, this is what, you know, I'm giving you for your birthday. And you look at them, and you look at other people that are at the party, and you say, man, you know, I unwrapped that present. I opened the box. That was work. I earned that car. Could you imagine doing something like that? How ludicrous is that? Think about that. That is the closest example I can give to someone trying to say baptism is working your way to heaven. Well, the last blindness we will consider, and we are about to wrap up, is the thought that we have plenty of time to obey. We do not know how much time we have. And it has hit home pretty hard with quite a few people recently. I know several people that have lost loved ones that they weren't expecting to. And it reminds us how fragile life is. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, if you have not obeyed the gospel, or if you have drifted back off into the world and turned your back on the Lord, there is not a better time than now to come back to the Lord. You know, remember Felix's poor choice in Acts 24:35? Said now he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, judgment to come, and Felix was afraid and answered, go away, for when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. If you wait for a convenient season to obey God, you may run out of time. Certainly, there are many more things. We could talk for days about various topics that are examples of the blinded mind, but we want to make sure we're in the right state. If we were to die tonight, would we be ready? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Have you repented of your sins? Are you willing to confess Him before men? Have you been baptized for the remission of your sins? You know, you can get with a local congregation, and there are plenty of people that would love to have a deeper study with you, and there is no reason to put that off. I am going to turn it back over to Brother Tommy now. Thank you.
And thank you, my brother. Brother William, you blow your trumpet tonight. Yeah, we did just what I wanted you to do with that assigned topic. It made it very plain. We got a sound congregation in Biden, Texas, I'm telling you. Preach is good. Now we got the elders. I'm sure we got some more elders just as good as you all. I appreciate you so very much. And to our listening audience, those who are on the call tonight, not members of the Church of Christ, all of us in the Church of Christ, at some point we were blinding ourselves until someone showed us the true light. When a person is seeking God, they're seeking for the light. You got to come out of darkness in order to see the light. Don't go along with what you hear. Make sure you believe the Word of God, for it is the light. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. And so that's how you make sure you don't get caught up in this blindness and this false teaching and things of that nature. So if you want to be baptized, you said, Brother Brooks, I want to be baptized. I've heard enough. I've heard these preachers preach. I want to be saved. I don't want to be caught up in false doctrine. I want to be among those who walk that straight and narrow path. The only true way. Then we want you to get back with the person who invited you to the call. And tell them you're ready to be baptized or you want to further study. And they will assist you and make sure they get you to their preacher, their congregation, wherever they serve. Or perhaps you want to us to help you out, just go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And I will make the arrangements for you. Wherever you are, we're going to take care of that. Make sure you get a teacher to you and someone can baptize you and a congregation for you to attend as well. And so we appreciate you so very much for being on our call. Now, you may want to go back and listen to the recorded message. This will be uploaded on our website. Go to HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there you click on Nationwide Gospel Call. You see the Nationwide Gospel Meeting. All the speakers that have been on since the month of May, and all the recorded messages are free. Download them to your CD, put them on your phone, or whatever you need to do, and listen to them. Or just tap on them, man. Just play it. Play it. Once you tap on it, you just listen to it right there on your computer or your phone or whatever you want to do. And so we thank you so very much for joining us. Let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings of life. And we're so thankful for your love for the world. And you said through your word that we should not perish. We should not. We know that your word teaches us that. People have abused and misused John 3:16. Through that, you told us that you so loved us. You gave your only begotten Son. And we said, believe in him, should not perish, not shall not. And we should not, because you made it very plain. Father, we thank you for your word, for scripture, for the Bible. We can read it and find direction and instructions in righteousness. We thank you for Brother Williams and for Brother Wiggins and Brother Williams. They're in Byron and their congregation. And we thank you for them and their families and for them accepting our invitation to join us on this call. Lord, we just pray for him and his family and all of those who serve with them. And not only them, all of our speakers and congregation that are on the call, elders and preachers. We pray for our leaders of our congregations. Continue to bless us, Father. Lead without addition to your word or subtraction from it. But we lead and allow it to guide even our own lives as we preach and teach your word. Thank you for all you do, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Tomorrow night, we got we're dealing with Flannery Towers with Lewis Parker IV. Coming back on from Sugar Land Church of Christ. Flannery Towers. Calling me in something other than brother can be a problem. Jesus taught against that. And so we're going to see what he's going to have to help us see it, why that's a problem. How can that be? Something so simple be a big problem. A lot of simple things are big problems when we change it. And then closing us out, one of his elders, Brother Roy Johnson on baptism. I'm in trouble about baptism. Looking forward to hearing you, gentlemen, tomorrow night and Friday night to close it out for the second week of the month of January. Now, before we get off, I just want to let all the preachers that are still on, I know a lot of people hang up, for the preachers that are still on and elders that are still on, we're going to be sending out a link to our database that we represent your congregation. We ask you to verify all the information correct. And we will roll that out shortly. We've about got it ready to go. So anytime members, those who join our call are looking for a sound congregation, meaning those men that I brought on my call, that we consider sound, those will be the names of the congregation that will be on our database, and you'll be able to just go on there and search the city you're driving to, and these men and congregations will come up, and then we want that to be a tool for all members of the Church of Christ. We're hoping to have a nationwide database, and it's developed based on the men that are coming on my program so far. We ask everyone to be prepared for the rollout and share with others so they too can have a place to go worship and to hear sound preaching and teaching. We love you all. Have a good night. Join us again tomorrow night. God loves you. So do we. Okay.